At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Omar Al-Khatib, Director, Corporate Affairs and Investor Relations. Please go ahead, Mr. Al-Khatib.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us. Welcome to our conference call to discuss our recently announced acquisitions and expansions. On the line with us today, we have Murad Al-Khatib, President and CEO of Alliance Grain Traders, and Lori Ireland, our Chief Financial Officer. Before we get started, I would like to remind everyone that today's call may include forward-looking statements. Such forward-looking statements are given as of the date of this call and involve certain risks and uncertainties. A number of factors and assumptions were applied in the formulation of such statements, and actual results could differ materially. This call may also include references to certain non-IFRS financial measures. For additional information with respect to forward-looking statements, factors and assumptions, as well as reconciliation to IFRS measures, we direct you to our news releases on these acquisitions and expansions, our website, as well as our recent filings on SEDAR. Now I'll turn things over to Murad for some comments, and then we'll go to questions. Murad?
Thank you, Omar. I'd like to welcome all to this call. The last week was a busy and exciting week for our company as we announced two major investments we feel will have significant positive impact on our company as we act on our stated strategies to move up the value chain in adding food ingredients and retail components to our strong commodity export business in pulses. On Friday, at an event in Regina attended by the Right Honourable Prime Minister Stephen Harper, the Honourable Jerry Ritz, Minister of Agriculture and Food, and the Honourable Brad Wall, Premier of Saskatchewan, along with His Worship Mayor Pat Fiacco of the City of Regina, we announced a $50 million investment in a new pasta and pulse processing, packaging, and logistics complex to be located in the global transportation hub in Regina. Construction on this facility will commence in 2012 with completion in early 2013. At this complex, we'll be milling durum wheat and pulses, processing durum wheat into semolina for the production of our Arbella pasta brand in Canada, as well as pulse processing capacity for the production of pulse flours, pulse proteins, pulse starches, and pulse fibers for the food ingredient markets. This continues our focus to create value through origin-based processing and shipping finished products and not just the raw basic commodities to markets around the world. The distribution center with the other tenants, CP Rail, Loblaws, CLS, and the Yankee Group, is expected to provide opportunities with regards to the availability of ocean containers, trucks, and intermodal units at the GTH site for domestic and export shipments. When this company was founded in Canada, it was based on a concept of building on strong businesses that started in Turkey first. For those of you who know our history, the Alliance company's history extends back to the Arslan family's business in Turkey when the company was founded in 2001. We are continuing down the path of this type of strategy implementation. What we have done on pulses, proving that origin-based processing of commodities locally grown for export is a successful model for business, we have also built a successful global pasta business based on our production facilities in Turkey, exporting Arbella pasta to over 60 countries around the globe. We intend to follow the same strategy with pasta and milled durum wheat production in Canada. It is a fundamental of our company to establish the markets prior to establishing production facilities. The timing was right for this announcement in Canada. Our other announcement released today is the acquisition of Advanced Seed in South Africa, a key consumption and production region for pulses, popcorn, and grains. We have worked with Advanced Seed for many years as our sales and distribution agent in the region. As a part of this $7 million acquisition, we are acquiring a successful business with strategically located assets, including a processing plant, packaging facilities, and warehouses, and a retail supply and branded products business. All of these components fit well with our stated strategies for our business globally. We feel that significant opportunities exist with these two announcements to significantly expand our operations and utilize our supply base from our global operations in 8 countries and 5 continents. We are truly a global player. Our focus has been on pulses and staple foods we produce, and our focus remains so. Our relationships with growers in Western Canada, and now in Southern Africa, our relationships with our international customers we sell to every day, and our asset base around the globe creates opportunities and synergies that we feel may be realized through these investments. Both of these announcements are viewed as important steps in ensuring a strong foundation for our future by solidifying our pulses business globally, adding pasta milling capacity in Canada to complement our Turkish operation, and extending our origination diversification strategy into another key growing region of the world. And through these announcements, we will continue down the path of building a business that will foster the inclusion of pulse ingredients and branded products into our business in a bigger way, moving us further up the value chain in our pulses and staple foods platform. We have a strong balance sheet. We will continue to deploy capital based on the metrics we have established for investments and acquisitions to enhance the opportunities for our business as we identify them. This, we feel, will assist us in enabling to continue to successfully and profitably supply the world with pulse ingredients and our other products as well. At this time, Omar, I'd like to invite some questions and allow our analysts and investors to have an opportunity to understand these two announcements a little bit better.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. In order to accommodate as many callers as possible, one question from each person will be taken. To ask a supplemental question, please press star and one again to rejoin the question queue. If time does not allow for a response to all the questions, the Alliance Grain Traders Investor Relations Group will follow up after the call. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Jacob Bout of CIBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. So of this total spend of $50 million, maybe you can talk a little bit about how much is earmarked for the processing on the Pulse and Durum side and then the pasta plant, and what's the relative size of these facilities that you're thinking about?
Jacob, the plan, I mean, we're still in the detailed design phase, but I would estimate that about $35 million of the 50 is going to be earmarked for the pasta build and about $15 million for the construction of a pulses milling, blending, and packaging plant. So, you know, let's start with the pulses side. The pulses side is really going to be focused on, you know, taking peas and lentils in particular and, you know, continuing with the process of what we do now, which is peeling and, you know, preparing product to separate the fiber and the protein of the product. But instead of stopping at split lentils or split peas, which is what we are the largest marketers of in the world today, Jacob, we'll take it further down, mill it into pulses flours for inclusion into bakery products, and then we'll actually take those flours and we'll be able to split them into protein, starches, and fibers. And so, you know, we think that the world is ready, you know, for a large-scale, stable supply from multiple origins of pulse ingredients. And if we're going to have success in convincing, you know, the large multinational food companies, the Krafts, the Unilevers, the General Mills, you know, and other large global players to include either in existing brands or in new formulations pulses as a staple ingredient for protein, fiber, vitamin, and other nutritional profiles, they need supply. And so we think that will be our response. The initial pulses milling plant, Jacob, will be about 100,000 tons of milling capacity, and it will be scalable so that basically we can continue to add additional peeling, additional milling, and additional, you know, fractionization equipment to be able to break it into its components. On the pasta side, we'll start with semolina production. And we will start with two lines, Jacob, one long cut, one short cut. And that will then, in addition, you know, be complemented through a option origin, you know, export strategy like we do in our pulses between our Turkish plants and our Canadian plant. So we'll be focusing on, you know, Canada, U.S., or the Americas and Western Europe. That will be a main focus out of the Canadian plant. And Turkey will focus on Turkish domestic market. It'll focus on the Middle East, Africa, and Asia. So from that perspective, we'll be adding roughly about, somewhere in the range of about 250 tons a day of production on the pasta side. And then that, again, as you know from our model, Jacob, we scale it. We can increase semolina production. And once we establish the basic infrastructure in Canada, then we will do decisions on expansion of our capacity, either to add lines in Turkey or add lines in Canada, depending on which one is providing us the best opportunity margin-wise.
So that's, you know, basically in a nutshell, the strategy.
Okay, I appreciate that. Maybe just a follow-on here. So how much of this pasta do you plan on selling into the North American market? And then maybe you can walk us through how you plan on marketing this, you know, what the brand will be. And then maybe, if I could, just talk a little bit about what happened with Prairie Pasta. You know, they were unsuccessful a number of years ago, and why your venture, you know, why you think it should be more successful.
Okay, yeah. On the first part of your question, we will be doing a dual strategy. There will be Arbella branded, and we'll also be looking at, you know, private label, you know, opportunities that go along with our brand. Now, one of the key advantages of Arbella has been our geographic diversification strategy on the marketing side. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, people who get to know our company realize is we don't build facilities because we think we can market product. We build facilities because we already have a market. Now, this investment is driven by, you know, the success of the ramp up of our line 3, 4, and 5 in the Turkish pasta side. And, you know, what you'll likely see, Jacob, is you'll see line 6 added in Turkey in, you know, 2012 while we're building in Canada, but line 7 and 8 will be added in Canadian production. So, you know, the strategy will be, of course, the market opportunity will decide, but we would anticipate somewhere around, you know, maybe a third of our production being destined for the North American market and two-thirds of our production being destined for export. So we see a strong opportunity in Central and South America where Arbella is already being sold, where we think we'll have a significant advantage. And we're also very optimistic about the Canadian government's current, you know, strategy to negotiate a free trade agreement with Europe. And so from that perspective, European market access, you know, on a level playing field with European processors is an advantage that we believe we're going to be able to achieve from Canada as a result of the CETA, the Canada-Europe Free Trade Agreement, which, you know, of course, isn't signed yet, but we're optimistic that it will be coming into place in 2013, so just in time for our production. In terms of the Prairie Pasta venture, you know, I guess just in general, I don't know all the specifics, Jacob, of why they were or were not successful, but what I can tell you is, when I built the first lentil plant in Western Canada, it was a splitting plant, as you know. The entire world said, Arbel, you know, Sascan Alliance, the company that we had started, could not compete with the world because there were new milling plants in Egypt, Turkey, India, Dubai, Sri Lanka, you know, all over the world. They said we wouldn't compete with destination-based processing. And the fundamental of our strategy is geographic market diversification. We don't need to take the whole market. We only need to take markets that want very high quality, you know, very, you know, consistent quality and very competitive long-term supply. That's been the strategy of locating our facilities at the origination of production. We think that there's a couple of things. Origin-based past processing is the same as pulses in that a certain percentage of the product stays as waste in the local markets. And so we will be able to leave the waste in the local market. We will ship finished product out by intermodals, by trucks, and by containers. Now, a game changer, Jacob, in this whole thing is the Global Transportation Hub project, which, you know, I want to make sure everyone understands. This project is not a dream that may or may not happen. We are currently, Alliance is the largest container shipper in Western Canada, and we have sat on the sidelines watching this project with very close eyes over the past 3 or 4 years. And the Saskatchewan government, the city of Regina, and the federal government has invested over $170 million in road and infrastructure. Canadian Pacific Rail has announced their relocation, which is underway. And the icing on the cake is the location of a Western Canadian distribution center for CLS Loblaws, the retailer. The logistics freight side is all about balance of equipment coming in full, and we're the empty loads to go back out to the world. And so part of origin-based processing is access to competitive freight units. The Global Transportation Hub is a game changer for that, which is why we will compete with Bulk Durham going out to markets in the world that will be processed and re-exported. You know, we sat down with a European and Italian manufacturer recently who communicated to us that he had tens of thousands of tons coming of Canadian wheat to Italy to be processed, and he's sending them right back into Canada and the U.S. That is not efficient. We will definitely compete with that type of business.
Okay, thanks for that, Mark.
The next question comes from Mark Robinson of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Murad, I wonder if you can comment on just the pending deregulation of the wheat board and how this $50 million investment might be shaped by that, or how the strategy is affected by that.
Yeah, I can make a couple of comments. First thing I want to say on that, Mark, is there's been all kinds of political discussions related to our announcement from Friday to now. I want to be very clear with our investors and very clear with our analysts and with the general public. You know, this investment, was in the works for many years. In fact, I made the comment on Friday, the original dream of From Producer to the World, which is our slogan today, included pulses and Durham wheat. So this is from a decade ago. But the environment had to be right. So, one other thing before I move on to the environment. We have received no government incentives. We've received no, anything from government. We build businesses based on, cash flow and based on profitability and based on viability. And we rely on governments to create the enabling environment and to stay out of our way. So we don't want government incentives and we don't want government interference in our business. Now, from our perspective, the wheat board deregulation or marketing choice, for us is an essential element of locating any origin-based processing venture. We would never set up a venture anywhere in the world where we could not originate the material, raw material for our production directly from farmers. Now, for those of you who know our business, that has become one of the biggest advantages of AGT is our ability to build strong, productive, profitable relationships with our growers all around the world. And so from that perspective, if we could not buy the Durham wheat from the same farmer, Mark, that produces the lentils and peas and chickpeas for us, we would not have a pasta plant in Saskatchewan. The fact that that will become a reality in 2012 made us move on this investment. The fact that our business in Turkey is growing so positively for us, and we are foreshadowing the requirement for additional capacity in our pasta business, made this announcement much more imminent. So the decision was build a lot more lines in Turkey or start to diversify our pasta base, to other jurisdictions of the world. And the decision was made to wrap it all up in a bow and announce it on Friday.
Okay, and if I could just maybe push a little bit further on what Jacob was asking around, just around the strategy of actually penetrating the North American market. Are we going to see Arbella pass the commercials and, similar to the strategy you used in Turkey? When would you think we would start, what is the quantum of cost associated with that, and when do you think you'd be encouraged?
I will tell you that in 61 countries now, in Turkey, The original launch was based on building a brand new brand in the domestic market there. Our strategy here will be much more distribution-based strategy. Don't forget, Canada and the U.S. for us is only one of 61 markets. Okay, so we have no view that we have to sell 100,000 tons of capacity in the North American market. This is an export-based pasta business. It will continue to be an export-based pasta business. And when we look at pasta production around the world, you know, we are at the origin. Others are importing raw material from origins. We can compete in the landscape of you know, 100 countries around the world that we currently have distribution in. That will be our focus. So, you know, you will see Arbella, you know, we believe in mainstream retail in Canada. You will see it in niche opportunities in regional U.S. Plays. And we'll also put a strong focus in the North American market on the food service industry. You know, out of Turkey currently, we supply Pizza Hut, for instance. And so, you know, it's not only a branded strategy. Remember, you know, for us, it's a mix. It's a mix of being very efficient at processing, and it's very large scale, and we control our cost right from origination right to destination. We also will not rely on anyone else to produce our semolina, like many U.S. Pasta manufacturers currently do. We think that semolina production and integration of your semolina operation is an essential element of quality control, cost control, and competitiveness. So, you know, the strategy, you know, from an investor perspective, don't expect to see Arbella commercials on coming to primetime on television and us dumping millions of dollars into it. We'll let our quality, our distribution, and our competitiveness drive into the retail markets, and we think that it'll carry the strategy from there.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from Max Vishnikov of Octagon Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. Just a quick question: how are you going to finance this project?
Max, if you look at our balance sheet, we have significant debt capacity remaining on our balance sheet. When we execute our business plan, we've said very clearly to investors that we feel we have a very high free cash flow business, and we'll be in a position through a combination of debt and free cash flow to fund this and to continue down our path of the tuck-in acquisitions like the one we announced in South Africa today. So, you know, the South African acquisition and having Brian Lever and his family join us with decades of history in Southern Africa, for us, it's a very positive story into a new region that goes along with the expansion of our pasta business in North America. So, you know, it's a combination of debt and free cash flow that will continue to allow us to deploy, you know, the funds that we've talked about
to our investors over the past number of quarters.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thanks, Murat. And then perhaps if you could expand this on South African acquisition, because if my data is correct, I look at the statistics, South Africa is not considered to be like one of the top major importers or producers of pulses right now. What sort of like criteria are you using in your strategy in developing this acquisition?
Yeah, I mean, for us, South Africa is a major market on the import side for things like beans out of China. So as we've talked about, you know, all of these pieces, the tuck-ins, you know, you must consider that it's an interwoven strategy where acquisitions focused on distribution are actually being put together to allow us to drive the utilization of other assets that we either own or are developing around the world. So for us, South Africa on light speckled kidney beans, on lentils, on peas, on chickpeas are very important for a destination market to drive our assets in Canada, Australia, and China. Southern Africa is a big part of consumption for pasta, or Africa in general. We're going to be able to use the Advanced Seeds platform to further develop that business. And then we're going to be using the Advanced Seeds company has a side of its business that's focused on seed supply to the farmer and agronomy and advice. And so while it may not show up in statistics today, we see significant opportunities to develop regional production schemes with farmers whereby we can offtake their beans, lentils, peas, popcorn, and other staple foods and actually export them into developed markets like Western Europe, and also to have Mozambique, Tanzania, Kenya, and Malawi, you know, feed our expanding platform in a place like India. So we see it all interwoven, and Southern Africa for me is one that, you know, we put a small amount of capital in, we've invested in a management team that, you know, I can tell you I'm very excited about Brian Lever and his family's ability, you know, in this business, and, you know, it was a match made that made a lot of sense because we've been doing significant business together. They were one of our significant distribution partners in Southern Africa. So we're excited about it, Max.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. I'll jump back in the queue.
The next question is from Robert Winslow of National Bank Financial. Please go ahead.
Good morning.
Morning, Robert.
Murad, what are you assuming is the EBITDA potential of this new facility in Regina, and over what time period might we expect you to ramp up to that EBITDA potential? 2-3 years? Your comments, please.
I mean, you know, Robert, we're very clear that, you know, we're not changing our metrics. And, you know, one of the things that you'll see with a large-scale pasta development like this is you'll likely, you know, start off at the higher end of our indicated metrics, you know, in terms of, you know, we always say, I mean, 4 or 5 times earnings max, reduced down to 3-4 times earnings, you know, within a ramp-up period. These ventures, in our mind, will fit those metrics. Now, once you build the semolina plant, which has additional capacity over what you need to produce, then it's all about just tucking in new capacity and expanding your earnings on a basis that's a lot more favorable, like we've done in Turkey.
Right.
So, you know, over a 5-year cycle, we think this is going to be a very attractive and accretive, you know, earnings opportunity. It'll start to deliver earnings in 2013.
Okay.
And it, you know, by 2014, we should be up to our metrics, you know, in terms of where we want to be. Now, the pulses flour side, you know, also, you know, we believe that by building multi-use facilities in deeper pulses processing, you know, we're talking about pulses flour, pulses protein, pulses fiber, pulses starches, we'll be able to skim the opportunities off and to create, you know, significant amount of value. This is very similar strategy to what the corn millers have done over their history, you know, whereby corn has been taken into milling plants and has actually been, there's been products that have either been developed or commercialized, and food uses have been delivered for things like high fructose corn syrup, which is used in, you know, Pepsi and Coke and a lot of other products, you know, corn starch, you know, high protein corn ingredients for the food industries. You know, we want to replicate that only, of course, on a much smaller scale. So I think that that's something that'll that will also ramp up quite quickly. We didn't build this plant before now because we wanted to make sure our origination and our markets were ready, and we see the opportunity now to be taken.
Great. Thank you.
The next question is from Harry Siemens of www.siemenssays.com. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Congratulations. And you've pretty well answered all the questions, but it's great to see that you're moving forward with this, and obviously no government involvement. How did you get, obviously there was an importance there that you were able to get the Prime Minister to come out, because he did announce there that he was going to bring in the legislation, which will make it possible for you to go ahead next year.
I mean, you know, Harry, obviously, you know, there's all kinds of dynamics that played in. We were honored to have the Prime Minister come and spend, you know, a couple of hours with us to understand the opportunities that exist in value-added processing. And, you know, our, you know, pitch, you know, to the announcement is very simply, you know, we are proud to be creating local wealth, local jobs, and local economic activity. We're origin-based processors. We've done it successfully around the world, and we're going to continue. And, you know, the opponents of this type of development continue to talk about the fact that you must process durum at the population centers because it's not viable to process it at the origin. And we say that those types of opponents are out of touch with the transportation, you know, reality, which exists with container, intermodal, and truck. And we've proven this out already with our lentil and our pulses platform. So we're quite excited about it, Harry.
The next question is from Anoop Prahar of GMP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just a couple of points of clarification, Murad. The passive technology you're going to be using in Regina is identical to what you're using in Turkey right now?
Yeah, Anoop, I think, just to
answer that quickly, in case you have anything to follow up, but this, you know, one of the things to understand is we are not a pulse company that's venturing into pasta. We're already successfully doing it, and yes, we will be using, you know, the same pasta milling systems that we've delivered in line 3, 4, and 5. And we're just in the process, as many of you know, of expanding quite, you know, significantly our semolina production capacity in Turkey. And so we've just went through an expansion that will be completed by end November, December in Turkey. So that design, you know, will be the one that will be implemented. So we'll be building out the semolina capacity. The only difference, Anoop, is we'll likely build it a little different because from a construction standpoint, in Turkey, land is very scarce. In Saskatchewan, land is not. So we may go a little more, you know, horizontal. In Turkey, we go a lot more vertical and go higher. But higher means higher cost of construction. In Canada, we don't need to do that necessarily. So we know the process. We're ready to do it.
And how many jobs will you create in Regina when you're up and running?
Be about 60 full-time jobs in the milling and packaging side of this. And so we expect that to be, fairly immediate in 2013. And, the property size of what we're acquiring in the hub will be up in the range of about 50 acres. And so we'll have plenty of room for expansion of additional facilities. This will become our, you know, Western Canadian, you know, origin-based processing food complex. And, we'll be looking to add additional, you know, facilities for the production of some of these value-added food ingredients that we need for the pet food and the human food industries.
And just last question, is Arbella currently available in Canada?
Anoop, if you go down to Longo's stores in Ontario, we've done a limited launch at Longo's. Across Canada and in the Giant Tiger retailers, you can buy Arbella today. And, we're definitely, you know, making progress on, you know, launching additional retailing opportunities. So, you know, we'll be in discussions. The dynamics change, Anoop, when you're talking about being able to compete from an existing facility in Turkey, but when you talk about having a long-term, production point here, you know, the major retailers of the world, because the retail industry is consolidating, the major retailers are interested in that message. So, you know, we're quite optimistic about having national distribution on Arbella.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Arash Yazdani of Raymond James. Please go ahead.
Hi there, guys. I'm here for Steve Hansen. Most of the questions have been answered, but just one last question, I guess. What percentage of the pulse products would be sold domestically or within North America versus export overseas?
There's a couple of things there. I would say, I mean, we don't know the exact mix yet, but my target would be that, you know, the main markets of focus for this particular plant will be North America, and, of course, Western Europe will be a very big focus on the pulses ingredient side. When we look at the, you know, properties of non-GMO, gluten-free ingredients, all-natural production, you know, this fits very well into the European production base, and so we expect that to be mixed. So I would say, you know, my target will be somewhere around 40% North American, 60% for export. And, in addition, you know, we certainly will have an opportunity to be looking at, you know, offshoots of, you know, the economics of sending, let's say, starch into Asia directly. Currently, they're importing peas to extract starch. We believe we can ship starch into Asia for use in things like mooncakes, vermicelli noodles, dumplings, and other, dough-based products. So we think that those types of opportunities will open up for us.
Great. Thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Mark Robinson of Cormark Securities. Please go ahead.
Real quickly, I don't think you mentioned it. What the capacity is at the South African facilities you bought?
Yeah, the South African facilities. It's actually quite a large complex, about 90,000 square feet of warehouse and production plants in Johannesburg, in the main production facility that we own. And in addition to that, there are three other leased warehouses with small packaging lines. I think there's four small packaging lines running to package pulses, bulgur wheat, and other packaged dry goods. The production in the facility, there's four small production lines, and would process probably capacity would be somewhere around 75,000 tons a year. And we'll get that ramped up over time with a number of different products. Mark, one of the interesting ones is we actually have brands that are actually in the retail stores. So, one of the main businesses that they're in addition to the pulses and other grains is popcorn. And as I may have mentioned already, we produce there a microwave popcorn brand called Fresh Pop, and Fresh Pop is available in a number of retailers around Southern Africa, where it's a theater, popcorn-style box that pops in a microwave into a, ready-to-consume microwave popcorn with South African local popcorn, which is a very high-quality popcorn that's exported to a number of countries, including Western Europe. So the facility, I like it because it has four independent small lines that allow us to do everything from, peas and popcorn and lentils and chickpeas and also into other grains like sorghum for the brewery and wine and spirits manufacturing in Asia, and other types of products that are grown locally there for export. So it's a very functional facility for us to wrap up.
Okay, great. Thanks.
The next question is from David Pupo of Macquarie Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, Murad. Did you say it was 100,000 tons of new milling capacity on the pulses side?
Yeah, that's the target will be 100,000 tons of ingredient production and milling.
Okay, would this be always incremental, or would you look to consolidate some of your other your capacity in Canada?
It will be incremental, although there will be other, tuck-in investment types that will look at asset consolidation. This one, David, is really focused on milling flour, milling starches, proteins, and fibers. So we don't have that capacity within our system currently. And our current splitting capacity that we utilize in our Regina location that's going to be actually about 15 kilometers away from the new plant that we're building, it's fully utilized into our split lentil and split pea and split chickpea business. So we don't have incremental capacity available to expand that line out today.
Okay, gotcha. And on the pasta side, has anything changed in the last year with regards to positioning of the Arbella brand, especially in, what we know best, North America? So you mentioned Longo's and Giant Tiger. A year ago, the strategy was to fit into the mid-end, so essentially above the Lancia and Primo that goes on sale for 99 cents for a 900-gram bag. Is that still the strategy, fit in above the low end but sort of in the middle, or has that changed?
Yeah, I mean, David, certainly we're going to have a dual strategy. We're going to have a table pasta strategy where Arbella will fit into that mid-price point, and then over time we hope that with, increased distribution penetration, we can move it up to a mid to high mid price point. And our strategy is the same in every country. We enter at a low mid and we move up over time based on the strength of our distribution. Now, in addition, we have done a few things over the past, 18 months or so. We've launched a new brand, which is being sold in Turkey called Pasta Veneta. And Pasta Veneta was introduced at a premium price point and has actually been selling quite well in a number of points within our distribution in the Turkey and region. And so you will see us likely introduce both a premium and a and have the Arbella into the table pasta brand.
Okay, so as you grow those brands in pasta, when can you see yourself having to build a marketing group?
We already have a marketing group that's marketing to 61 countries around the world, and we'll be adding some incremental marketing resources. You know, currently we have an agreement with a company in Toronto called William Dunn Foods, who has been a very successful part of the commercialization of a number of household brands in the Canadian retail markets, including brands like Chapman's Ice Cream, Energizer Batteries, Clorox Bleach, Dial Soap, and they've taken on the Arbella, and the branded Pulses lines that we will be introducing as a part of adding this incremental capacity.
Okay, thanks.
The next question is from Keith Carpenter of Canaccord Genuity. Please go ahead.
Morning, Murad. Couple of questions. Should we think about going forward and against, of course, once fully ramped, the milling facility, should we think about that as a similar margin and operating rate down the road as your other North American facilities on average?
I mean, certainly, Keith, the idea is to move up the value chain. And so, you know, while we will have larger capital costs to these particular ventures, we will need to have, you know, different return profile as well. And so, you know, the concept of developing blends and ingredients and the subject of components of a pulse, let's say proteins, fibers, and starches, the entire economic thesis is that the margin available from the component parts is higher than the margin available from the whole pulse. And so, you know, over time, we'll certainly, you know, I think be able to show a margin improvement in that particular segment. That's the goal here, to continue to move up the chain. Now, while we move up, don't make any mistake, we're not abandoning the business that's made us successful. And, you know, we'll continue to, you know, create opportunities for further origination and further logistical advantages, which build into our traditional pulses business the opportunity to either preserve or grow margins.
On South Africa, can you just expand on that a bit? So currently it's 75,000 tons per annum, but you guys talk about capital improvements. Can you just discuss that a bit and what that ultimate...
There's just a few tweaks that we need to make, a little bit more storage, a little bit more, you know, machinery improvement, like we do everywhere. You know, there's not major things. It's a very successful running company. Brian Lever and his three children who have grown up in the business are all remaining with us long-term. And, you know, when some of you on the investor side have an opportunity to meet Brian Lever, you will see a man who spent his entire career of decades in the Southern Africa agriculture, Africa in general, the agriculture business. And so it's going to be a very strong ability for us to walk in, inject some capital, and the capital is really going to be more working capital to allow the platform to grow, you know, over the next 24 months. So, you know, I'm excited about distribution in that particular region, and, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities for our Pulses products to expand, both on the production, processing, and export side, and for the import and distribution side.
So we should assume, from a production point of view, we should assume 75,000 tons per annum going forward.
It's not there now. It's running. It would be running very similarly at where we are, you know, today on our global platform at 50% utilization. You know, part of the constraint in South Africa for the family company was it was a family company and capital was a bit constrained on the working capital side. And bringing the strength of AGT's balance sheet is going to alleviate all of those considerations and allow them to grow the branded and private label packaging business. Keith, we think that the biggest legs in this thing is to be able to take light speckled kidney beans out of, you know, China into our own distribution in Southern Africa and directly into private label and branded packages for the retail sector. That is truly origination to distribution strategies. The Advanced Seeds acquisition mirrors a bit the Portman's acquisition. You're going to see more of that, where AGT is acquiring successful distribution customers in different regions around the world.
It gives us management strength, it gives us warehouse facilities, and it gives us local processing and origination. You know, why build it from scratch when I could convince someone to join us? It fits in our metrics, and we can take off running instead of walking.
Perfect. Thanks, Brad.
I think we have one more question. I'll take one last one, and then we've got to wrap up.
Okay, there's a follow-up question from Max Vishnikov of Octagon Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys, very quickly, just to follow up. Marup, you mentioned that pulse-based fibers and protein still needs to be commercialized. Is that, just to clarify, is this market already exists, or you need to sort of like develop it?
Oh, I mean, it's a combination, Max. It exists. I mean, you know, there's already, you know, all kinds of applications for, you know, protein that's included in existing food products, fibers that are included in existing food products. You know, we're not starting from scratch here. There's been significant amounts of research done by, you know, the Canadian International Grains Institute, SIGI, University of Saskatchewan, North Dakota State University, Northern Crops Institute, you know, our own company sponsored research. And let's not forget, we're already doing a lot of this business. You know, for instance, we've talked about the inclusion of lentils in Barilla pasta in the United States. You know, those types of things exist currently. We think it's time to be able to offer large-scale production, to be able to give food companies an alternative to things like soy protein, to give them an opportunity to look at a different ingredient that's gluten-free fiber, gluten-free starch. You know, all of these things play well into the consumer's requirement, and so we'll be commercializing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Great, thanks.
This concludes the time we have for questions. I'll turn the conference back over to Mr. Al-Khatib.
Oh, thank you, operator. I'd like to thank you all for joining us today. I'd like to remind everyone still on the call that if you have any follow-up questions, you can feel free to contact us at our Regina head office, and we'd be more than happy to follow up with you. Again, I'd like to thank you for attending the conference call, and have a good day.
And for any media who wish to ask questions, please contact Alliance Grain Traders Investor Relations after the call. Ladies and gentlemen, today's conference call has concluded. Please disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.